Welcome to Red Meat, the conservative news update you need from Odyssey stations across the country. This is the place where we're not afraid to dig in. President Donald Trump gave a speech this week. A big one. Beautiful, some would say. And it's still all that everyone's talking about. So here's a conservative take on it from WYRD Radio's Tara Servatius.
For the first time in weeks, Lee, I feel like Trump is back after that speech last night.
Good.
Good evening, America. 11 months ago, I inherited a mess, and I'm fixing it.
And this is interesting, okay, because this was billed as an economic speech. Damn. That's the first minute in 2 seconds, and you see the twin themes of prices and illegal immigration. This is what he really needed to explain. I've been explaining this for, gosh, months about, you know, you cannot dump 12 million people into a country that only creates 1.8 million housing units a year, plus over the open border, plus another million a year for a total of 4 million over Joe Biden's term on immigrant visas, plus another 12 to 13 million visa overstays and only create 1.8 million housing units a year. That's roughly what, 7 million housing units? That math don't work. Yep. And that's why that in the Bidenflation is why we have these prices. So he's finally explaining to people, look, that closing the open borders and deporting the illegal immigrants is about affordability. And then he does this, and this is fantastic. He says, Lee, look, the worst thing, I'm going to get interest rates down because I'm going to get the economic arsonist Jerome Powell out. He's a Democrat trying to wreck the economy. But he also says, look, the worst thing that Joe Biden did was flooding the country with illegals because it made it so you can't afford a house or your rent.
I'll soon announce our next chairman of the Federal Reserve, someone who believes in lower interest rates by a lot, and mortgage payments will be coming down even further early the new year. And you will see this in the new year. I will announce some of the most aggressive housing reform plans in American history. A major factor in driving up rates, this is the worst thing that, frankly, in my opinion, the worst thing that the Biden administration did to our country is the invasion at the border. The last administration and their allies in Congress brought in millions and millions of migrants and gave them taxpayer-funded housing while your rent and housing costs skyrocketed. Over 60% of growth in the rental market came from foreign migrants. At the same time, illegal aliens stole American jobs and flooded emergency rooms, getting free health care and education paid for by you, the American taxpayer. They also increased the cost of law enforcement by numbers so high that they are not even to be mentioned. For the first time in 50 years, we are now seeing reverse migration as migrants go back home, leaving more housing and more jobs for Americans. In the year before my election, all net creation of jobs was going to foreign migrants. Since I took office, 100% of all net job creation has gone to American born citizens, 100%. In the end, government either serves the productive, patriotic, hardworking American citizen, or it serves those who break the laws, cheat the system, and seek power and profit at the expense of our nation.
So he's finally tying these two together, Lee, affordability and the flood of humanity that crushed into our country.
And we've seen the example of that in what's going on in Minnesota and Governor Walz there. And the situation with the Somali migrants there. That's a prime example.
And then he also tweeted this. And I've been talking about this for a very long time, but I didn't know exactly what the numbers currently are because it's not really updated. But they're really shocking. And he says this, there's 53 million foreign-born people in America right now. That's an astonishing number. Mm-hmm. Who has the highest unemployment rate? It's an incredible rate. Gen Z, 9.5%. That's because we've given for 30 years, we've given away the blue collar jobs. Now the lobbyists are eating us alive. Now they want to give away the white collar jobs, the entry level white collar jobs, particularly in tech. But then we turn around and we say to our children, oh, by the way, here's the crushing debt.
Now, here's the bill.
Here's the bill. So what is happening here? Let's dig into this. A migrant earning $30,000 with a green card will get roughly $50,000 in yearly benefits for their family. Okay, that head of lettuce that, oh my gosh, if you send the migrant home, you're not going to be able to afford. Well, guess what? You paid for it. All this is shifting the burden of wages from the companies to the taxpayers. They're not going to come here and pick the lettuce unless they get the massive welfare benefits. You fall off the ladder because you're picking apples. Guess what? You need to go to the hospital. Well, guess who's paying? The taxpayer. We didn't save too much on that apple, did we? Now, the only people who saved were Wall Street. They got rich. And that's why you've had the Chamber of Commerce take over the Republican Party and flood it with pro-immigrant money, because this is theft from the American people. And not only because they came here and picked a lettuce or picked the apple one time or what for one season, do you have to pay for them forever? You got to pay for the next generation, the next and the next and the next. The welfare use rate goes up, not down, according to Pew Hispanic Trust. This is a scam. And I've been saying for a long time, Lee, this is a tax evasion scam. Mm-hmm. This is a wage transfer scam. Oh, look at us. We had a great quarterly earnings report. Well, what did that cost the middle class taxpayer? Mm-hmm. Well, and what does the U.S. Chamber of Commerce say? Well, you got a cheaper head of lettuce. Yeah, I ate it one night. One night, I ate that head of lettuce. I'm going to pay for it for the next 3 decades. So let Americans do these jobs. Americans will do these jobs. They will. You know, I was telling this to my son the other day, as I had an economics professor on who's since retired. He was at Clemson when I was first here. And he said something that boggled my mind. He said, listen, in the 1980s, and he said, you could go and work in a chicken processing plant. And he said, you know, you could have screwed up. Maybe you got a little bit of a criminal record. But you're good now. You've been clean for a while. Maybe you dropped out of high school. Maybe you got some other problems, right? But you want to live a middle-class lifestyle. You can go to the chicken processing plant, do the jobs nobody wants, and they'll pay you $20 an hour. They pay 18, 20 bucks an hour. This is in the 80s. What do they pay now, he said? 18 to 20 bucks an hour. Hmm. Like, adjusted for inflation? No, the exact same amount. Yep. Why? Illegals. Well, what have you just done? You took away the safety net from Americans, because guess what? You go to the chicken processing plant, you broke into some places as a teenager, you got fell in with the wrong kids, but you're 28 now, you haven't done it in years, you regret that you did it, worst thing you ever did. But guess what? You worked at the chicken processing plant, now you've got 3 kids, you can put a pretty good roof over your house, over their head, right? And guess what? Now, you're not on the line anymore. You're now a shift manager, and you're well on your way to becoming an assistant manager. You're crawling out of it. You had a way forward. They took that away when they depressed the wages. It's a crime what they did to us. And that's how we got here. That's how we got to where a migrant earning 30,000, as Trump writes this morning on Truth Social, earning $30,000 with a green card can get roughly $50,000 in yearly benefits for his family. That should be illegal. Right? That's $80,000. So we didn't stop paying people the money. We just transferred a bill to the taxpayer who now doesn't have a good job. And because he doesn't have a good job, he's not paying taxes. So because he doesn't pay taxes, guess what? We got to print the money to pay the migrant. Now where do you pay? In the grocery store checkout line. And it just rolls on like that. And Americans, as he said, are such good people. They don't want to complain. Their children's legacy has been stolen and smashed and given away. It's not the fault of the migrants either. They're just being used like everybody else. And that's where we are. And this is our last chance to stop it. So we all need to get behind Donald Trump.
Here's Mark Reardon with more on Trump and reaction to his speech.
Here's what I'd say. I can't lie here. I thought it was awful.
What was like, wrong with it?
Well, what was wrong with it was exactly what I thought was going to be wrong with it. And I tried to explain this the last couple of days. What happens is you have two, maybe you have three different types of Trump when it comes to the speeches and the addresses and the rallies. You have teleprompter Trump, which is just really boring. Like, he can be in an event and then he's got to read all the proper stuff, or maybe he's in the Oval Office and it's just boring as hell, right? And then there's teleprompter and weaving Trump. And now that Trump is where he's got the stuff on the teleprompter, but he goes off script because he has the time and the ability to do it. And that's what happened in Pennsylvania, you know, a couple of weeks ago, because that was very scripted, but you wouldn't know it because it took 90 minutes. I think that speech would have been 18 minutes, like last night, had he not done all the weaving. So last night, he's got 18 minutes. He knows that people are going to be pissed off like me because they can't watch the Survivor finale. And he's just looking into the camera. He's very angry and he's just shouting. Now, I heard from Trump supporters last night, many of them who were very staunchly, you know, behind the president for the past 10 years saying, what is he doing right now? And I didn't get it. I really didn't understand. I know that the message was supposed to be about the economy. People watched it. I'll give you an example of somebody that sent me a message that, again, is pretty staunch Republican. And it was like, I can't. Trump is killing me already. He's done so many great things, and yet, ugh. He took over from Biden, and blah, blah, blah. He was horrible, and I've inherited this horrible mess, blah, blah, blah. I just want to tell him, will you just shut the F up and just say, hey, we're making America better again. We voted for the blanking guy, and we're already out. His opening two statements, he lost most of the people. So those are Trump supporters, right? Now, I don't know if that's going to have any staying power, but ladies and gentlemen, let me assure you that this is risky, because the reason that a lot of us chose this president a little more than a year ago is because we were trying to save the damn country, right? And saving the damn country is still on the line, because if the Democrats have control in a year, if we're about to usher in Hakeem Jeffries as the Speaker of the House, we are doomed. We are doomed with a capital D in this country. So I worry about the effects that this is going to have. And when you kind of combine it with the Susie Wiles piece this week, I'm a little confused today, even more confused perhaps on that than I was earlier. Because look, these things don't happen accidentally, right? They knew that they were going to do the posing of the pictures in the Oval Office and some of this other stuff. And then, you know, there's all these criticisms that come out. I don't think it was a complete hit piece, but I do think things were taken out of context. And, you know, that's problematic for the White House, because I told you this last night, Fred, I drove home and that's all they were talking about on CNN, right? It was still, Laura was talking about Brown University and some of the other stuff. And they were all about Trump and, you know, how this is devastating chaos. Look at this White House, blah, blah, blah. And then there's the, now I'm going to be honest with you on this one here. I don't know whether to laugh at this one or to cry or what to say, because some of the stuff that he does, I just think is damn funny. All right. And it is. But you've heard, right. But it's also, you've heard about the plaques.
Oh, no.
Do you not know the plaques?
No.
Do you not know the plaque story?
The plaques.
Okay. All right. So I didn't know about it until last night. If you go through the White House, under the portraits of the former U.S. presidents, Donald Trump himself, in some cases, has rewritten the script on the president. So the text includes a series of criticisms about past leaders and, you know, really focuses more on Trump. Carolyn Leavitt said the plaques are eloquently written descriptions of each president and the legacy they left behind. So the Biden plaque, I'm not going to say that this is inaccurate, is represented by a photo of an auto pen.
Okay, I have heard of these.
I mean, underneath it, it says Biden took office in January 2021 as a result of the most corrupt election ever seen in the U.S. And this kind of goes on and on for a lot of different figures. So I don't know what to think. You know, it's one of those things, again, it gives people an opportunity to say this guy's losing it and he's crazy. On the plaque stuff, I kind of think it's relatively funny, but the word presidential, you know, comes up a lot. I used to use that word 10 years a lot. We're way past presidential, right? We really are. I'm looking at my, let me look at my my Acorns account this morning, because then I'm going to turn myself around on the president. Let's see here. How's the stock market doing today? It's doing quite well, I think, today, which is good. And that's what people are doing. Somebody told me last night, I just keep saying over and over, 401k, 401k, 401k. And that's not a bad strategy.
Kim on a whim.
As expected, Trump signed that order yesterday to reclassify marijuana as a less dangerous drug. And he's already getting some pushback even from Republicans. So what this is doing is, it was previously labeled as a Schedule I drug under the DEA. And in that same category would be things like ecstasy, LSD, heroin. What he did was he is wanting to reclassify it as a Schedule 3 drug, which is Tylenol with codeine, ketamine. What they're saying is that under this Schedule 3 drug, it would have moderate to low potential for physical or psychological dependence. Listen to Trump talking about this yesterday.
We have people begging for me to do this. People that are in great pain. For decades, this action has been requested by American patients suffering from extreme pain, incurable diseases, aggressive cancers, seizure disorders, neurological problems, and more, including numerous veterans with service-related injuries and older Americans who live with chronic medical problems that severely degrade their quality of life. And it's I can't tell you, I think I probably have received more phone calls on this, on doing what we're doing. I don't think I received any calls on the other side.
Well, just because you didn't
receive... It's because he didn't take my call.
I was going to say, just because you didn't receive any calls doesn't mean that people aren't against it. People are worried about what this is going to do as far as people just... This message that it sends, particularly to young people. I mean, people already drive high. I remember last year, my family and I were at Candy Cane Lane. And, you know, there's a ton of traffic. There's a lot of cars that are going through there. And someone had their window down. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. Someone was clearly high,
of course,
smoking
while
they're driving through Candy Cane Lane, where there's so many children walking around.
I don't get me started. You know how I feel about the devil's lettuce. I don't partake in it. Here's my confusion on this whole thing. What Congress needs to do is reclassify it so that all these states where it's legal, where the states have voted to make it legal, Missouri's one, obviously Illinois's one, because it's still illegal federally, the people that own these dispensaries can't take their money and put them in a regular bank, right? Because it's illegal federally, so it can't go in a bank that's FDIC insured. So they're having to put their money in like little dinky credit unions and things like that, because God knows they're making plenty of money off of this stuff, because people walk around stoned all the time. I know I sound like Mr. Han from Fast Times, but I believe that to be the case. That's what needs to be addressed. Now, here's my confusion, Kim. I thought because medical marijuana was approved before recreational marijuana, that it was already pretty darn easy to have a doctor prescribe this stuff for you. What's the difference? Is the idea to reduce this so that people can get it without a prescription?
Trump is just
because
saying
you
that
already can in most states.
Trump's saying that the amount of research that he feels needs to be done on the possible benefits of medical marijuana, he says you can't even do that research unless you reclassify it, which is odd to me. Why would you be restricted from even doing research unless you reclassify it? And by the way, you mentioned how Illinois and Missouri, it's legal. Recreational is also legal here in Missouri.
Correct.
Very sadly. 42 states and the District of Columbia have already legalized medical use of cannabis. And, you know, we joke about how many car washes are popping up. I feel like every time I'm out driving, I see some new car wash popping up, which, by the way, is weird. But my point is, that's like these dispensaries. They're going up like the car washes. Every corner I turn, it's some new I just got an email yesterday talking about some new dispensary that's going up.
Oh,
they're
my God.
Everywhere. Every block now, I feel like there's a dispensary.
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. I've thought all along, and I think this was probably the case in Illinois, as it was described to me, that when legalizing marijuana, I don't know who the people are who go to the dispensaries, because people I know who do partake tell me that the prices are so high, it's still cheaper to get it from the guy on the street corner. But because they've taxed it so high, it's ridiculously expensive. And the other problem is the same thing that, who was it? Mark Thiessen pointed out yesterday, that the underlying danger of what we're doing here is with a wink and a nod telling our kids this is okay. And it's not okay. And I'm not talking to the 20 and 30-year-olds out there. I'm talking to the 50 and 60-year-olds out there. This stuff is not what you smoked in college. It's not. It's a totally different chemical. It's 20 times stronger than what you used to smoke when you were in college and thought this was funny. Play cut number 9, I think it is. Yeah, here.
I think the idea of reducing the classification of marijuana at a time when the THC levels have gone up between 400 and 800% is kind of contradictory. And I think the last thing we want to do is continue to destigmatize marijuana. We're trying to reindustrialize the country. You can't operate machinery when you're high. We've got education levels, the national test scores are going down dramatically. You don't want to encourage people using marijuana. It's contrary to what Trump is trying to do.
I'm on board with Mark Thiessen. I know people that have used it for medical reasons, and they claim that it was a godsend. Maybe it is. I don't know, but I was under the impression you could already access it if you needed it.
I probably would be under that same impression. I didn't think it was very hard to get if you wanted it. Would there not be? I'm not big on taking drugs. Sometimes they're needed. Sometimes you do need an opioid. I get it. But the idea would be that it's a crutch. It's not a forever thing, and they're very addicting, and that's why we see people starting. They have a back surgery, and I'm not saying that marijuana is that. I'm just making the point that, like, would there not be something more holistic, I guess is the word that comes to mind, where you don't have to use medical marijuana? People are going to say, Kim, it's hemp. It's fine. It's cannabis.
Well, that's going to be banned in a year or two.
Is there not something that would be more natural than that would not have any sort of issues, like when you're smoking pot and you're getting high? What was it? Some 10,000 conditions that they say medical marijuana can help with?
I think probably if you're stoned, the number's even bigger than that.
So I've read somewhere that marijuana can help with weight loss. I'm sorry, but anyone who's smoking pot, isn't it the opposite effect? You're hungry and you're like a ravenous dog eating brownies at 2 a.m.?
Nobody's loved this more than the fast food restaurants. Are you kidding me? I'm sorry.
Thank you for listening to Red Meat, a collection of conservative audio from Odyssey's talk stations across the country. This is the place where we're not afraid to dig in. Listen wherever you get podcasts and smash that subscribe button.